Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At this moment, you're joining with the community of poets from around the world, joining together to share their work, share community, share friendship. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the March 23rd, 2018 version. I had to check the date there, JT. Been doing something every day, you know. That's how this stuff goes.
Yeah, that happens.
I lose track of the days, sometimes the years. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic. I am one of your hosts, Michael Amadei. I'm here with the technical guru and genius behind the show. We nickname him Voltron.
Why, thank you. Yeah, you're welcome. I appreciate that.
I'm probably never going to call you that again. Yeah, it is JT. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm good. Yeah. How are you?
Doing pretty well. Thanks.
Good week?
Obviously. Yeah, it was a really solid week, actually. It was really good things going on. And, you know, I think I'm excited about this, though. I think this is going to be a great time. Now, just because we're going to be mentioning it throughout the show to make sure everybody can hear and make sure everybody knows,
We
are off the air next week.
Yes.
So next week, Good Friday. We always take traditionally, we take Good Friday off, and we will be doing so again this year. However, we will be back in 2 weeks from tonight with an After Dark segment following up.
Yep.
Okay? So, you know, there's plenty of stuff we could talk about, but I think, honestly, we should probably just start getting into the rules and then going to the poetry.
Sounds good.
Oh, actually, I do have one thing.
You want to bring up a thing?
I want to bring up a thing.
Okay.
So we mentioned a while ago that we were going to be putting out a magazine called World Poetry Magazine.
Yes.
And that will be coming out this summer. We would love to get submissions from people if you guys are interested. So we'll be getting some more information, but the way I'll be doing this is I'm going to be reaching out to people individually over the next 2 weeks, basically, and I'll be kind of, you know, just reaching out and asking, you know, asking if you have anything to contribute or asking if you have anyone you think we should talk to about contributing to our first issue. So I'll be getting to that, and then, of course, we'll open things up. But the first issue I really want to have be a real strong representation of this show.
Yeah.
And so the actual issue will come out in June. So we just need to kind of get it going. And we're about to head into National Poetry Month.
Yes.
Which is really exciting. So it'll just be a good tie-in. It'll be a good time all together. All right. So our rules. Number one, when you get on the air, please have your poem ready. Please be ready to read. Don't be looking through. Don't be trying to decide. It just kind of, we actually went through and looked at it all the time added together. Creates a lot of downtime on the show. So let's just do our best and have it ready to go when we get on the air. Second rule, no hate speech. Never has been good on this show. We're not going to do it now. Okay. And number three, we try to skew PG-13 with our poetry. We try not to get too rated R, too adult with it, because we do have families that listen sometimes or younger children. However, if it is artistic, we're also not in the business of censorship. So
that's right.
If censorship is, you know, if, how do I want to say this? If it's artistic, if it has artistic merit, we're not going to jump in on that at all. But if it starts getting a little too over the top, we might recommend that you read it on our After Dark segment.
Yep.
Okay? Sound good?
Sounds great.
All right. Let's get ready to do our first call-in segment. We need 5 unique callers. You'll be put in the order in which your call is answered. 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry, Open Mic. Give us a call.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate.
Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
And we're back. The first segment powered by love and chicken. I had some chicken earlier today. What do you think? What are you eating? What did you eat today earlier that is powering this section?
Tacos.
Damn it.
Sorry.
Okay, so we're back. We have 5 great callers. We also have a submission lined up here. This is going to be an awesome first segment. Before we go to the callers, though, I'm going to do the submission.
Yes.
This one is from Namrata Santoki. I know she's in the chat room as well. Hello, Namrata. Thank you so much for sending in your work. We really appreciate it. The title is A Promise and a Wish, and I'm going to read the kind of the preamble here. This is a small poem of conversation between a promise and a wish. Each explains their own significance, but a very important part of our lives that makes us believe, trust, and face various stages of life. As told, promise binds us to some substance, and we have to consciously take care of it to be kept unbroken. And wish itself is something that appears as a goal. Wish is something we tend to reach. A wish is a pure, powerful thing that makes an individual's existence wonderful and full of delight. The poem is titled A Promise and a Wish. Here we go. With a great faith, I'm taken and given. Where the words are straight, bonds are woven. I am promise. In the moonlight silence, I'm with lovely solitude. A shooting star from distance, and the closed eyes from gratitude. I am wish. In the wedding vows and the dominion pledge, the trust tied in bows, and time is no edge, I am promise. In this eternal universe, I reside in purity. I am the medium to converse with the God Almighty. I am wish. I am bond with two substance and taken care of, said promise. I am supernatural demand residing freely within a soul, said wish. I am the proud moment, said promise. I am the divine belief, said wish. And that was a promise and a wish from Namrata Santoki. Namrata, thank you so much for sending that to us. If you also have a poem that you would like to send, please send it to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com, or you can go to our site, worldpoetryopenmic.net, and just put it in the contact form there. Those are the only 2 ways to send in a submission to the show. All others will, well, we might read them. We might enjoy them. We might even love them. We're not going to read them on the show. Don't tag us. Just send it to us. Maybe that should be a t-shirt.
Good, yeah. Ooh, don't tag us. Just send it.
Don't tag us. Send it. All right, there we go. All right, let's go now to our first caller. From what I understand, this is a birthday boy as well.
Yeah.
Let's go to Jim in Pennsylvania. Happy birthday, Jim.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, is it today?
No, it was yesterday.
Happy late birthday, Jim.
So, as it turns out, I share a birthday with Sinister.
Okay.
Billy Collins, Reese Witherspoon, and Captain James T. Kirk. It is my ship.
Really? Well, that definitely showed. That definitely explains your predisposition towards Legally Blonde.
Like, well, oh my gosh!
I know, right? I heard you're going to law school. The poodle gave you away, Jim. It's the poodle who gave you away.
Oh, the poodle.
Ah, the poodle. That's a good poem title, by the way.
It's a pit bull.
All right. So speaking of that, what do you have for us?
Well, I have one that I did March 30th of 2010, and it's Easter related.
Okay.
Since there's no show next week, I'm going to do it this week.
Awesome.
It's titled Perverse Pleasure. 5 fathoms of Fenric cord coiled about his soul. The world's weight wielded upon his weary brow. Perversely pleasured by pain, tethers himself to the torture tree, enduring for the joy set before him. End of poem.
Ooh. That's solid. Really enjoyed that one. What'd you think, JT?
That was good. I liked it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's one of those things where we definitely could find a lot of reasons to do the show around Easter, but also we realize it is a significant time, and it's a time that means a lot for us. You know, I know, a few years ago, JT and I and Christine all went to a Good Friday service. I know we do different things. So it's definitely a powerful thing, and that's one of the reasons we decide to take it off every year also, is that it kind of requires that. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, really appreciate it, Jim, and happy late birthday again.
No, thank you.
All right, you got it. We'll talk to you.
I am 47.
47.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I'm making a note.
Danielle says on the outside. On the inside, I am 2.
You're 4. Yeah. That's why we all get along so well. All right, Jim. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you during the return, okay? All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania. Wonderful lead off to the show.
Yeah.
All right. It's a little bit of a difference, a little bit of a mix up there.
Yeah.
Like we're just kind of a, All right. Let's now go to Cynthia in Vancouver, British Columbia. Good evening, Cynthia.
Hi.
How are you?
Pretty good. I walked home so fast today.
Oh, really?
I didn't quite run, but I dashed home from school and got here just in time. So.
Oh, we're so glad you did.
Yeah. So awesome. The poem I have tonight is one I co-wrote with Jude Neal. She's the person who opened Posick Fest. She was the first leader.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, she's an opera singer. She's incredible. She always writes her poems so that each line is a breath that she can sing it.
Okay, cool.
So I love getting to do stuff with her for those reasons. I'm just going to read because I will scare people if I sing. So we called this Rainforest in Russet. This is it. In the silence between breaths, my truth rises. I fall into the space where the forest captures light. Is this the question or the answer? To trust this journey of closure. A new opening repertoire. I dig for you in the shadows of dying gray matter to find a slip, a morsel of foggy memory. How we set up your chessboard the night we met, photographed the pieces and their complicity to be art. The queens, their own fashion statement, balanced in the spotlight. Horses rode across the checkered landscape, free of battle scars or fear. Configurations came and went. We both knew the game transcended competition. Our strategy, a decades-long tango of connection. We played until slivers of dawn shone on an empty stage. Now at the threshold of rainforest and russet, ash into earth, to whatever is or isn't, I am released. End poem.
That's a powerful piece.
But it is.
Very cool collaboration.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, she's so wonderful to write with. Like, she kept giving me, like, she gave me, is this the question or the answer? So she made it so easy for me to finish the lines.
Yeah.
And she gave me in the silence between breaths. So it was so easy for me to add something onto it.
I can see that. Yeah.
But wow, it came about. Yeah. We were thinking about how, no matter how good your life is, even if you've been partnered, you still, dying is something that we still do alone.
Right.
And we're thinking about how at the end, it's like that final choice to let go is something you do alone into the unknown. Mm. That was what we were thinking about when we were writing it.
That's really true, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because so many people around us, a lot of people in our community are sort of in this really spiritual space at that point in their lives where letting go is coming soon. So it's been on our minds a lot.
Yeah.
And whether or not there is anything, the rainforest is so beautiful, you know?
Oh, yeah.
The ash in this beautiful part of the world doesn't seem like it's that bad.
Actually, yeah, good point, isn't it?
So that's been on our mind.
Cynthia loved it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on the show.
Of course, anytime. We'll see you next time. And that was Cynthia. Did you notice how that did the weird thing with the ears? Like how it just went from one speaker to the other right when she hung up? That's a fascinating little thing that happened there.
Yeah.
It did.
Yeah, no, it did. It was because of my finger.
Oh.
The button. Oh. It's my fault.
Okay. Sorry about that.
My apology.
No, it's no big deal.
I hit it too slow. I didn't just...
It was a split second, man.
You know, it's true.
It's, yeah, we're fine. All right, now we're going to head up to the carpal tunnel in the wrist of the mitten state and visit Dennis. Hello, Dennis. How are you?
Hello, Dennis. Hello, it's Dennis. Yes, and it's Friday night. That's the night we like.
The only night we like.
Yes.
JT
yes.
is grumpy every other night of the week, except for this one.
Yep. Pretty much.
It's understandable. Yes, all right. I'm glad to be here.
We're happy that you are. How's everything been going?
Well, there's been some... speed bumps to get over, but I'm here, and that's what's important.
Well, we're sorry to hear that, but we are happy you're here with us. It means a lot to
yeah,
us.
Yeah, what happens between Friday to Friday, it's called life.
Yeah. That's the truth, isn't it?
And you get surprises along the way.
That is true.
But we're survivors.
That's it. That's right. That's the only way to do it.
We are.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so what do you have for us?
Well, considering the poet of the month is who he is, mm-hmm. and considering that James had a birthday yesterday, I thought I'd throw one stone and try to hit two birds.
All right. That always so works. Poem,
yes, the poem I'm reading tonight is Happy Birthday to You by Theodore Seuss-Geisel. And it goes like this. If we didn't have birthdays, you wouldn't be you. If you never had been born, well, then what would you do? If you'd never been born, well, then what would you be? You might be a fish or a toad in a tree. You might be a doorknob or three baked potatoes. You might be a bag full of hard green tomatoes. Or worse than that, why, you might be a wasn't. A wasn't has no fun at all. No, he doesn't. A wasn't just isn't. He just isn't present, but you are you. And now, isn't that pleasant? End of poem. A poem by Theodore Seuss-Geisel.
Right, we love it. Love it, Dennis.
Good stuff.
Happy birthday, Jim.
Well, that's a great birthday right there. I think that's a
that's a good gift too.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. Dennis, thank you so much again, and thanks for everything you do for the show. And we're really blessed to have you with us every week.
And that blessing is a mutual. It's so mutual. You bless us so much, and thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
And go ahead. I'm going to step aside and let the next person jump up to the mic and throw down some more poetry.
All right.
And I'm going to say God bless.
God bless, Dennis.
God bless. Thank you. See, we're purposely avoiding the jinx now, JT.
It's just you want to so bad.
It's so easy to do. I know I do. So let me ask you this. How was your St. Patrick's Day?
It was good.
What'd you do?
We went over to a friend's house where we had a potluck, and we did some D&D.
What's D&D?
Dungeons and Dragons.
I'm unfamiliar with it.
Maybe you should join me sometime. You might enjoy it. Expansion of the mind.
Nah, I'm not into that.
Without any drugs.
I'm not into expansion of the mind.
Kind of like a Lord of the Rings.
I don't like to do any of that stuff. That requires creating. And
we had lamb stew. We had cabbage, shepherd's pie, corned beef.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You? What did you do?
I sat in my room and judged people. That's what I...
Sounds familiar. Okay.
No, what did I do? Oh, I went to a fundraiser for the school.
That's right.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's what I ended up doing. It was, it's great when you go in and one of the parents comes up to you and first thing that happens, they hand you a drink and they go, all right, now look, a few years ago, I woke up on the green of this golf course. I suggest you start now. I'm like, I'm not doing this around parents, but just watching the parents slowly devolve.
Wow.
Yeah, well, we raised a lot of money, though.
That's good.
It went really well. So that's kind of applying them with alcohol to loosen the pocketbook.
Well, yeah.
It makes sense to me.
Drops the inhibition a little bit.
Yeah, that's what we were going for. All right, let's go to Cleveland, Ohio, and visit with Mama Oladeji.
Yeah.
Mama, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Well, hello.
Hi.
Let's go to Cleveland, Ohio. Oh.
Listen to that guy talking behind. Who sounds like that?
That must be either the recording being played back or JT repeating himself.
Nah, it's just the delay. It does it sometimes.
Oh, wow. Did you explain that to me? Thank you.
Oh, well, you're very welcome.
Okay. This is when I was back in 2015, and I'm kind of like trying to capture the mood of the children who's living in the United States and how they get to the place where they just don't care. They just kind of live the thrill seek and not really care about living. Mm. And this is called Popping Willies. Popping Willies, because school ain't safe no more. Neither is my home. Everybody mad at everybody. We can't afford shit. Half the time we hungry off that GMO shit. That GMO shit. We eat insufficient deposit in my membranes. It's called food, but it's making us insane. We are now strange. But we are fearless and we care less about living and the more about thrilling. We do it for the thrill, preparing to kill or be killed. It's okay to go out of my way. Let's pop willies on the freeway with no helmet. Let's do it on a holiday. It's okay to go out of my way. Y'all just do not get it. See, death is not my enemy. Living is. That's called Popping Willies by Mama Oladeji.
I like that.
That was a solid piece.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed that, Mama.
Thank you. That's from 2015 when all the stuff started.
Before all the stuff started.
Well, yeah.
Those innocent days of 2015.
Well, before then, it was so bad, but it just got prevalent back then, the school shootings and all the different stuff, Columbine and the other little school kids throwing up on the bridge, throwing rocks down at cars. It just got crazy. So I'm just like trying to put myself in the mind, because that's when Monsanto started making all the, they started taking all the natural seeds and burying them in food banks and giving the people all this fish dung in the tomatoes and fake rice and fake this and fake that and lead in the water, and the kids just going crazy. And, you know, it was just a big mess. That's just right when everything came to a head, right, around 2000.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you all. See you on the next one.
Thank you.
Sounds good. See you then.
Okay. All right. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio, throwing down a great piece there. It's been a good first segment so far.
Yeah, it has.
I think we've got a great poet who's going to round it out here whenever you're ready, JT. And this gentleman here has been a caller to the show for a while now. We love having him. We love his work. Let's go right to George in Michigan. Hello, George.
Well, hello. How are you guys?
Doing real well. How about you?
Well, just fine. Finally going to get some warm weather, I think.
Oh, are you? Yeah, we started getting some this week, too. I think JT's not happy about it.
No, not at all.
But I've been driving around with the sunroof open.
Oh, not yet. Not that for us yet, but I think in a couple of days it will be. But I'm thinking flowers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we can come out of our caves now and shake off the fleas. And, I just heard that there's a certain kind of certain kinds of insects only survive because they hibernate in the bear's fur.
Really?
And yes, and I don't know why I thought that was funny, but I thought it was, you know, maybe a touch icky. But anyway, you know, I guess if you want to have a good existence in the frozen tundra up here, you find a bear to go sleep with.
Well, you know, I think that's really it, isn't it? It's kind of like there's all kinds of creatures that only exist because they jump onto another, and way or another. I mean, for instance, without a whole bunch of hardworking people, how would these billionaires exist?
you got James on his birthday. Yeah. That's
true.
You waited a long time for that, didn't you?
I've been working on it. You know, I had it in my back pocket for months.
It's a couple of weeks before you had a chance to blast it up. Now you feel much better.
I do. I feel great now. Thank you. Right. What do you have for us?
Well, I have one that a couple of people have probably already heard. I read it the other day, but it's called Next Bus to Korea. I see a boy at the Greyhound station. He is 9, and it is 1951. He is watching the soldiers boarding, bound for the coast, then to Korea. Flint's young men, black and white, rich and poor, but all their pants are pressed equally, their shoes gleam, the brass is on straight. They hug their mothers, lips quivering, acting cavalier. The bus is rounded, jet-like, with chrome details. Its diesel looms in a worldly way that intrigues the boy. He wonders how many commies they'll shoot, whether they'll see MacArthur in person on the front. The depot speakers buzz out Giselle McKenzie at garbled words, but the speaker's words drew the men more rapidly up the steps, on their way to heroism and destiny and the newsreels at the Gem Theater. Just a few years back, in the last war, the boy's good friend Jim had told him about his father, who did not come home from Italy, but not why. He was afraid to ask what kind of wretched war death took Jim's dad. But his other friend Dave's dad had died in a jeep wreck near Rome. And now, only half a decade later in Korea, his friend Mike's uncle had just died at Heartbreak Ridge. And his cousin Billy was right now near the reservoir, whatever that was. He wondered if these gallant bus-boarding men, so tall and straight, would get to that reservoir and help protect Billy. and let him come home to his mother, my Aunt Mary. Jeff Chandler and Montgomery Cliff always came home. He and a black kid about the same age exchanged glances like nine-year-olds do. The kid said, "That's my daddy," and pointed proudly to some bus window. He wondered if black soldiers died any easier than white soldiers. The bus started and fumed its way out of the terminal into a night rain. The kid asked him, "Is your daddy on the bus too?" "No," he said, "my sister is coming in from college, next bus." "Oh," said the kid, "that's nice. Is your daddy a soldier?" "No," said the boy, "he's too old." "Oh," said the kid, "you're lucky." The squawky speaker changed to Nat King Cole singing Mona Lisa. A fresh wet bus pulled under the lights, soon dripping off its passengers. My sister clutched my mother, but briefly. She was a college girl now. And she grinned at some of the soldiers forming a line for the next bus out. End of poem.
Wow. I found that one really, really affecting. Yeah. It's just, man. Powerful stuff, George. You know, I was just reading a letter written to my grandfather just as he got back from World War II this afternoon.
Uh-huh.
And I'd never read it before. And it was, you know, it puts you just so directly in that time to read that kind of correspondence. And then hearing this piece really kind of resonated as well, you know?
Right. Yeah, this boy, of course, was me. I just changed a couple years just to to protect the innocent.
Sure.
But it was me and the and I remember it, you know, in this the whole scene, and then I just thought of it the other day.
Yeah. Wow. George, thanks for sharing that with us, and thanks for thanks for bringing it. Really appreciate that.
Okay, thank you. I'll get off and let someone else go.
Perfect. Thanks, George. Appreciate you.
Right.
Bye. And that was George calling from Michigan. That's a solid first set, man.
Yeah.
Whew. I don't know how the second set's going to do it, but I bet you they're going to give it a run for its money, though, because they always
try.
Do. Should we just get ready to do it?
Are your
loins girded? All right. Oh, you did the Mr. Miyagi thing. You're ready to go. All right, here we go. We need five more unique callers, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic, segment two. Let's go. Christine?
Yes, Michael?
You know what you get when you throw four chickens in a bathtub?
Pure poultry.
That's right. World Poetry Open Mic.
That's nice.
You know, I feel really proud of that one. I don't
know
why. Should I?
Yes.
Is that one of those?
It was just fun. It was really good back and forth.
It reminded me. So I was talking to my brother, right? My younger brother, who, despite being a very different person, also has a lot of similarities to my humor that we do at different times that we're not aware of. So I found out recently that back when he was in high school, because he went to performing arts high school for orchestra. And he had written... in the paper of the school, there's a guy he didn't like named Spencer or something.
Okay.
He said something about we are all incredibly blessed and lucky to play in an orchestra with the great Spencer, you know,
so-and-so,
last name. He goes, because no one will ever butcher pieces quite like him. And it made me laugh. And I thought, that is exactly the kind of statements that I have made on this show. Exactly. Probably not as mean-spirited, but my brother, he doesn't pull punches. Let's put it that way.
No, he doesn't.
I mean, he almost goes excessively the other direction. Except it's always aimed at bullies, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go.
Do you have a submission?
I do not have another submission
okay,
for this segment.
To double
so
check.
That's right. So we're going to be going straight into the callers. Now, we only got three, but they're three power-packed, amazing poets. So that means we're going to finish this, and then we're going to try going in for the return engagement. So I think that should be good and enjoyable. Some nights it's like this. Some nights it's light. No big deal. Let's go now to the UK, across the Atlantic, to Titus. Hello, Titus. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. Still early.
Yeah,
very, very early, I'm sure. And sorry about the time change. You know, that's
It's kind of how it
no
is.
Apologies. I oh, never mind. I just made it in time for 2:30. So
we're very, very thankful that you made it.
But Wednesday, I listened to a radio program. It is an AP All Poetry program of gold winners.
Oh.
Mine was on the radio in New Jersey.
Oh, wonderful.
But some idiot was reading my piece. It was atrocious, honestly. You poets here do not know how good you are, honestly. This guy who was reading mine, I had to send this the host the SoundCloud of mine, my own. I told him that no one can read it better than them, but I know Dennis has proved that wrong. But I'm going to try this one this morning. It's the only one that's fresh, really, that I've written in the last couple of months.
All right.
It's a word bank, and so therefore it will sound a bit crazy in places. But it's about I've actually put the little prompts that periwinkles in Britain. We used to call them in the 60s just winkles. Hmm. But I suppose they were in some ways like the elusive woman trying to get them. It doubles up as a dig for periwinkles down at the seashore. It also depicts the aura depiction with the moods of both men and women. And myself, of course, who am a Capricorn. And ladies, they are romantic in some ways. So, of course, this poem is about that kind of like scenario. It's called Down to Earth, the Shade of Love. I'll read that now.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay. Down to Earth, the Shade of Love. A bucolic scene that has charmed the nymphs unravel. It is of the occasion when the stars are out, our eyes paint from afar, puts glitter in the jar. It isn't gravel. It is with persuasion that when the golden rod arise, the inked dip nature in which a copper colour tries, 'twould appear a dot on the horizon. Art will travel. Compliments, Miss Periwinkle, it's simply to comprise adoring worship from a spark you gave. One screams at the very mention of your name, it's with a surmise to silhouette your scurry with a world worried heart, it seems. To animate in ways to my liking, indulgence I doubt if the lavender is out. Platinum tint has lined its clouds as the heaviest hang-ups. I will let off steam to flout nonchalant drizzle, a promise of perhaps in shrouds. Though aquamarine holds contrast between sea and sky, there is nothing to compare her with. I feel the pages linked landscapes to drip dry and then step by step. Oh, why on earth does love show yellow? I love the dark stages, the colour of orange so turned she'll drop the warning. Dread, I say, could a receding tide delay until a sunset splayed along its beach within easy reach of viewing. Grey besieges temperate, a shy but beautiful water inlet. Like I, the charcoal sky she'll crave, dark ultramarine well. A dark nature next to my own is a smack in the teeth of some sun-kissed Lothario, now purple, that was not foreseen. It escapes all notice, a blue-eyed green with envied thief. Well, Lucy in the sky with diamonds, but only brief. Fantasy for beach bums, a man whose life is tangerine. End of poem.
I really like that one. Yeah.
Depicts. Oh, that's it.
I really like that one, Titus.
It kind of depicts the fact that I'm not a Lothario or I'm not an extrovert as such. But when you find a woman who is very similar to yourself, it's quite magic, really.
Mm. Oh, yes. Boy. It's. I bet it is. I bet it is. I don't think I found that specifically yet. I'm always too crazy for everybody, but you know.
That word bank, the word purple was really really put me out a bit, but I had to put that as a bruise of some Lothario who had his eyes on my woman. That's so it kind of like fitted the subject, I guess.
I thought it was great. I really enjoyed it. And I liked all the turns of phrase there and all of kind of the directions you went with it. You went to a bunch of different oblique angles, which I really enjoyed also.
Well, there were about 20 word banks in there, 20 words. So yeah. That kind of like shaped the poem. So
absolutely.
Word banks are good sometimes.
I thought it was great. It was wonderful. And thanks so much, Titus. Really appreciate you getting up early and calling.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye for now.
Goodbye.
Bye.
And that was Titus calling from the UK early in the morning over there. That's commitment. I mean, honestly, I don't know if I would be up at that time if our show was at that time.
2:50 in the morning?
Well, you know what? You and I are a little bit crazy enough. I don't think we'd ever do that, but we're crazy enough that if we had to for some reason.
Oh, absolutely.
We'd do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really the case. All right, let's go now. We're going to go back to British Columbia, and we're going to visit with Lozanne. I'm so excited. Lozanne, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
All right, wonderful. Well, you're on the air. Thank you so much for calling again. It's been a little while.
It has been. I miss you guys, and thanks to Diane. Hi, Diane. She's the one that sent me an email to remind me. Thank you.
Oh, yes. I saw your name in the thing that she had kind of printed earlier today or put out earlier today, and we always hope that you call because we love your work so much. So, how's everything?
Thank you. I am humbled.
Well, how's everything been going?
Going really well. A couple of big news happening to me. I have been commissioned by a chamber choir from Toronto, Canada, to actually take one of my poems, and they would put it into music.
Oh, wonderful.
Unbelievable, actually. I was dumbfounded when they contacted me, and they found a video of me and some poetry online, a video on YouTube, I believe the one about the immortal refugee. And the theme of their next year big event is refugee experience. So they were trying to find descendants and children and the refugees who were refugees and actually a poet, and they were trying to make musical collaboration, poetry music.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's wonderful. Yeah,
absolutely, it's so beautiful. So I managed to take some time off so I can write a beautiful poem to them. Because the fun part about the whole thing is, I thought I'm doing this, I'm a good-hearted person. I do it for free, and I found out they actually wanted to buy my poem, and they bought it at a really good price.
Yeah,
good for them or good for you?
I worked really hard, David. I mean, I know our work. We work really hard when we write. But when someone actually offers you money to buy your work, it's like I'm such a humble person. I'll do it for free. But it was nice to actually have that gesture. And then, of course, I would use it. I'm using the money too because my books are going for reprint because I'm adding poetry in my first two books.
Wonderful.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's going to help me financially, which is very, very beautiful. But I'll keep you all up to date. It's called the Capo Chamber Choir, and they already received my poem. And the poem title is I Am Here. The theme of the poem is, how it takes a village to raise a child. And even though when I came out, I was not a child, I was an adult. But when the refugees come here, this is our village, and we need to raise the children. That's about it. This is it. Everywhere you go is the village. So the poem that goes around about being a child, being in a new village, and we need to look after the children and raise them up. So, yeah. Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah, we're just stepping back whenever you're ready.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm ready for the poem. I'm going to read you another poem because in the spirit of standing up to a giant, giant, greedy Kinder Morgan pipeline expansion, I just came back from the mountain. I'm one of the protesters there standing up for what's right, for what's water is life. So the poem I'd like to share today is called Drum Beats. So here's the poem, Drum Beats. At the powwow, the dominant instrument of drum pulled me, demanded that I listen. The rhythms of the drum beat evoked stable forms of energy in me I did not know it existed. My heart beat harmoniously with it. It gave a voice to my silent soul. It made it awaken, dance, and soar in the pure blue skies above on wings of eagles. The sacred and spiritual sounds of the drum is the heartbeat sound of Mother Earth, I am told. It is the reminder of the throbbing umbilical cord music that once was our lifeline in the womb. The throbbing beat was all the music we heard until we were separated from the mother. It is the heartbeat that cannot be stopped because it's eternal, and it's the symbol of our living, breathing, aching, calling Mother Earth. If you need help remembering where you belong, if you need help to focus on your path, if you need to see with clear intention, all you need to do is listen to the beat of the drum. End poem. Thank you.
Always a pleasure, Lozan. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me, and I look forward to being with you next week. And I love to listen to the rest of the show.
Well, wonderful, and we're so proud of you for everything you have going on there. Really quick, so you know, because next week is a Good Friday, it's kind of a tradition that we take it off. So we're not going to be back for 2 weeks. So if you come back next week, we won't be around.
Following week, how's that? It's a date.
That sounds great.
It's a date then. I'm going to write it down.
Guys.
I'll be.
I really love you guys. You are wonderful, marvelous. Thank you.
Thank you. We love you too. Thank you, Lozan.
Bye bye.
Goodbye. That was Lozan, calling from British Columbia. Such powerful stuff. Diane, give us a call when you're
ready.
Right there. Oh, man, she's so on it.
She was on it.
Man, we don't even have to say anything. Diane could run the show herself. Hey, Diane, how's it going?
Yeah, but being blonde, I'd accidentally mix up the dials.
Hey, you know what? I used to be blonde before I lost my hair the first time. And so technically I'm a blonde.
Isn't it so lovely to have Lozan back?
Oh, it was wonderful. Thank you for needling her into it. We love it.
Oh, no, I try to send a reminder every time we're having one. I haven't really had a chance to keep up. I'm sorry that Mary's not here.
Oh, that's
she had
all
sent
right.
me a copy of a gorgeous poem she planned to read.
Oh, really?
So, something must have come up. They do.
Yep.
Anyway, I'm still battling the flu, so I'm not going to probably be here for second segment, but you guys always make me feel so good and happy seeing everybody, and boy, I sound terrible.
No, anyway, you sound just fine. You sound just fine. We're here.
And now, how is the weather where you all are? Are you still having snow too?
No, we're not. We're about 70 some degrees now.
Can't wait until Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, it's going to snow again, and JT can come outside and be happy when everyone else is sad.
Oh no, you know though, it's been cool. I like sock weather. We're going to be back up in like the mid 80s by the end of next week.
That's nice.
Anyway,
JT almost vomited when you said that. By the way,
send me some snow, JT.
I would love to.
If we sent the kind of snow that we get, or actually even better yet, the Northeast gets, we send that down to you. Everything's going to grind to a halt.
I know. It would be so exciting. Although, I'll tell you, on the first day of spring, I think it was Barbara and Bob. I mean, they had like another Northeaster.
Yep.
I mean, not just like a couple of inches, but, you know, like a blizzard.
Yep. Yeah.
So, poor people. Yep. Anyway, forgive my squeaky voice. This is called Spring, and I actually wrote it many years ago. But it's because it's spring. Okay. Spring. Earth Mother's spirit shines in the warmth of longer days as winter slowly recedes, releasing its hold to the smell of new-mown grass. Insects stir against the netting erected against their incoming intrusion into my domain. It's time to smell the bleach waft along the clothesline, perfuming the air with spring as much as the daffodils do, heralding the time of year when even the smoke smells clean. That was it.
It's an enjoyable piece.
Anyway.
Very nice, Diane. Thank you so much.
Okay.
We love you.
You guys are wonderful. I love you, too. I hope you all have a blessed Easter, okay?
We hope you do as well. We'll be in touch, okay?
All right. Take care, sir.
Feel better. Thank you.
I'll be here, and then I'll probably not be here for a second round, but I love listening to everybody. Take care.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Diane. Bye. And that was Diane calling from Florida. Always, as always, bringing something lovely and just contributing very nicely to the evening. All right. Now, since we just finished with three callers, that automatically triggers
the return engagement.
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 It's the return engagement. That was smooth, don't you think?
It was.
I think no one realized that we were going to do that. All right. Time for the return engagement. That means anybody who's already called wants to share another piece, you can call in. Anybody who wants to call for the first time tonight, you can also call in. 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Return engagement. Let's go.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
And we're back. The return engagement is now upon us. We have 8 great callers lined up, including a first-time caller from India, Atul. He's down on number 8,
yeah,
and he'll be coming right after Jim. So, Atul, we are so happy to have you on this show. So please stick. We definitely want to hear your work. But we're going to go, first of all, to the person in the number 1 spot, back to George in Michigan. Hello, George.
I think we scared him.
I think it might have happened.
Hello.
George.
We're still all alive, and it's a wonderful night.
I know. It's a good. We're still all alive. That's the first step.
That, at my age, that's the first thing you feel for is you're hurt in the morning. And if it's there, you've already made it. The poetry has really been good.
It has been, hasn't it? It really has been. It's been
a
fast-moving show. No, I agree. Absolutely.
Yes. And I'm humbled by the presence of them. And
every week. That's a story every week for us too, George.
I know. It can be humbling, can't it?
It really is.
Anyway, I'm delighted. And the one I'm going to read is also one I read the other day. A couple people may have heard that, but it's called, turn this other thing down a little bit. It's called And When She Woke. And when she woke, she dared to look at sunrise shapes from tree to brook. And what she saw caused her to stare, not just at me, but in the air, were golden wings, aquatic skies, erupting clouds of varied size, of songstress birds with ballet swoops, a flock of swallows with their loops. She looked at me for some accordance. That what she saw was there to warm us. The nervous poplars, maple swaying, were providential, reassuring. She took my hand, her grace unlimbered, her eyes now wide, her love unhindered. We coupled, too, it's nature's way. Our love was shown and here to stay. An osprey soared, a raven chased, a rabbit huffed off in its haste. No words were spoken, nor were they needed. I'd asked nature for this, and she had heeded. So when she wakes, I have to plot. I try to repeat this a lot. I'll manage mornings with my pen, so she'll show loving once again. But if one dawn I see a storm, which deigns to ruin our new norm, I'll shut her down the windowsills, and give her stronger sleeping pills. End of poem.
That ending made me laugh. I thought that was pretty solid.
It's a little sinister, maybe. It's a bit sinister there. It
gets dark,
I'm not really a date rapist or anything.
I feel like if you haven't had to make that qualification at least once on that show, you're not really a poet on World Poetry Open Mic.
I agree completely. It's fun. It's fun. And I try to put a little lift at the end too, just for my own satisfaction.
It was an enjoyable piece. I really did like it.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot, George.
I'll wait for the next.
Sounds good. Thank you. And that was George calling from Michigan here on the return engagement. It's a little bit of an early return engagement tonight. It's a light night. These do happen.
It does.
It's no big deal.
From time to time.
Absolutely. But let's go now to British Columbia, where they pay their poets. Hey, Lozan, how you doing?
Doing well. This is exactly where I was like 10 minutes ago when I talked to you.
I know. Okay, so nothing's happened in the last 10 minutes. We always need to check.
This is good.
They say the big moments in life happen very quickly, so you never know.
Oh, that's a good one. That's the start of a poem. You just gave me an idea of start of a poem.
There you go.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I just thought, since I already mentioned to you the poem that I gave to the chamber choir, they asked me, the chamber choir, the poem that I gave to the choir in Toronto, I would like to share with you that poem.
Perfect.
It's a two-page one, and then they're going to probably cut it and then make it their own musical stuff, but this is the poem. The title of the poem is, I Am Here. You won't find me in the abandoned towns, the empty schools, playgrounds, or the collapsed hospitals in my homeland. You won't find me at my friends' houses, my bicycle in the park, or in a roofless home on a dark and frightening night. Think of me and see my face when bullets replace spoken words, when destructive bombs overtakes and drown even the loudest voices calling for peace. You won't find me in the market that is now empty and colorless. You won't find me on a prayer mat at a mosque that is now a sniper's enclave, or on a merciless Rocky Mountain path overflowing with women and children searching for safety. You won't find me covering my ears to drown out the din of the relentless bombing. You won't find me in cities blanketed with smoke, carpeted with the blood of the innocent, oozing beside a fading horizon that begs the sun not to leave at dusk. Think of me and see my face when trading arms replaces the shaking of hands, when an invading army sweeps the land and spills the blood of defenseless souls. You won't hear my name mentioned in the keening cries of parents left childless in the mayhem. You won't find me buried along with those that perished from hunger, from pain, while longing for peace. You won't find me in the crowd fleeing the imminent terrible end. And you won't find me fenced in behind a gate which I cannot escape, and at the mercy of an army that cannot understand the words I speak. Think of me and see my face when sovereign national song of freedom are drowned out by the shrieks of frightened children. You won't find me among the little girls bought and traded and used spoils of war. You won't find me clinging to dear life on a flimsy boat crossing the sea in search of a new place to call home. And you won't find my life jacket floating. You won't find me drowned in the sea, washed up on an unforgiving shore, or wrapped in a golden rescue blanket, shivering, unable to speak or cry. Think of me and see my face when men in power become blind to the sight of weeping mothers and broken old men who just want to live in harmony. You won't find me dousing the flames of a burning refugee camp in Lesbos. You won't find me picking up food scraps in Vienna, and you won't spot me escaping bulldozers, crushing my makeshift home on an icy dawn in Calais. You won't find me where I used to belong or where I have been lost on the journey. I am not there anymore because I have been found and I am planted in a new soil. Think of me and see my face when millions and other million faces, when your rulers send you to my homeland and tell you my life is not worth counting. I'm no longer languishing in a refugee camp. I'm here. I am here now. All you must do is help raise me because I am the child. This is our village. End poem.
Well, that's a very, very powerful piece.
Thank you.
I can tell.
A good chunk of it is frozen history, like what I call it, and photographs of what the refugee journey is happening in the world, and also images and things I have lived through in 91 when we were refugees in 91 at the Iranian borders. So I just had to capture that and bring it home. Because when the people first came to this North America now, they asked the aboriginals, what is this place? They called it, this is Karata. Karata means village or settlement. So this whole Canada is a village. So I'm trying to small it, make it small. It's like, we're here. When people come here, they're in a village, and we need to look after, we need to raise the children. Because they're not here for a luxury fund. They're here because they're trying to find a new life. And this is our village, and this is it. We're going to deal with it.
Wow. Yeah.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you all. Thank you. I love you. I can't wait to listen to the rest.
All right. Love you, too. Thank you so. Thank you so much, Lizanne.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
And that was Lizanne calling from British Columbia. Just strong, strong work.
Yeah, that was.
JT, what do you say we go to British Columbia again? What do you think?
Okay.
Should we talk to Cynthia?
Yeah, it wouldn't be too bad.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Hello, Cynthia. How are you?
Good. It was so nice hearing Lizanne. I know her in real life, so yeah. It's so nice to hear her on the radio, too.
It's kind of cool, isn't it?
It's so interesting to talk to someone, to hear someone you know in real life through the computer.
Yeah.
Oh, it always is. But I have to say, I think it was kind of funny. The first time we did this show, we had people out in the other room calling, which is even weirder. But it is really kind of fun, and it's cool that we're able to do that. And thank you for introducing her to us as well.
Oh, I'm so grateful to hear her work. And I've got to hear her in real life, but she always touches all the hearts in the room. She almost made me cry last time. I had to read right after her.
Oh, no.
Her piece made me cry. It was so beautiful. Her short story about a little girl who came to Canada. Oh. It's like, anyway, this time I'm okay.
It's wonderful.
So I have a really short piece this time. I was looking at the moon the other night. It was just that slender, just that really slender curve, but it was a really rich color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I wrote a really short one. This is called As I Let Go. Amber cradle moves closer. End of life blessing. Half moon, full circle. End poem.
Wow. I like that.
Yeah, I really did too.
Very nice.
Yeah, way to go, Cynthia.
Wow, thank you. And you know, I never knew this, but in other parts of the world, like in North America, the moon is one way. In other parts of the world, it actually looks like a boat or a cradle.
Yeah.
I never knew that until I was reading something with my grade fours. I'm like, oh, that's so interesting. So I was thinking about that.
Oh, I could see it too.
It's neat when you get to look at the other stuff that's outside of your world and then realize that on other parts of the world, its appearance is completely different.
Yeah.
Never understood. Like, they have all these boat festivals. I think we're reading about boat festivals in Thailand and because the moon looks like a boat, and it just blew me away. I just never knew, you know, you never think that something's different than the way that you see it out your window.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. Right. And it's just, I'm always amazed by that. And one of the things I started doing, and this is oddly tied to it, but I think it does make sense, is that I've started studying the rituals of the world's big religions, but going really, really in depth. So I'm working on this big kind of epic poem I've been working on that uses the parts of the Mass. I ended up doing a lot of research and going into every little piece of the Catholic Mass and understanding why it's in the order it's in and why they're doing what they're doing. And then I started expanding that out. And it's interesting how many things are similar and how different they are. But then also, just within the Mass itself, there are so many different versions from all around the world. It's not even really the same. It's incredible to see just how different we are as people and how little elements of culture can shift things so much.
Paradoxical.
You very much so. Very much so. Cynthia, thank you for everything.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on the show.
Of course. And that was Cynthia calling from British Columbia. Again, there's some solid poets
up there. Just down the road from Lausanne.
Yeah, just to, I mean, literally, we have it on good authority. They are three steps away from each other.
That would be hilarious. They are calling from the other room.
All right, let's go to someone just very close by, not that far away. Let's go to Titus in Great Britain. Hello, Titus. How's it going?
Yes, I'm still up and about. It's my normal time now.
Yeah.
Now it's your normal time. Okay.
Okay. I will say that there is an F word in it, but I'm just going to exclaim the F and nothing else. Okay, that's a promise.
That sounds good.
This poem I wrote this poem in 1888, but it's about 1888. Jack the Ripper was about. I don't know if the Americans know much about Jack the River.
Oh,
Ripper
we do.
Story.
Yeah,
we have a weird obsession over here with it.
Yeah.
Well, this word bank actually includes the word seashore. So this is probably about a mile south of Whitechapel in Wapping. So it's where the evil that he's done has turned the River Thames into the River Styx, where Charon is waiting for Jack the Ripper. So that's the scenario for you all to listen to. It's called Charon and Jack the Ripper. London, 1888, Wapping. Night approached where cloud was supposed to hide, my last night at the tavern. It were the women who will find their last night too. A nectophile takes pride in the changing of appearance. Pleasure will construe taking the blessed life, for death shall duly walk her to a place of rest which is by the seashore. And there stood that old sea dog, not much of a talker. He stood upon the Styx by one flagrant mavath, and Charon in his boat, a vampire to his slaves, aids whereabouts, cupped by oyster shell, it engraves to wade through total darkness, depicting a graveyard, a depth to which our undertaker said, "You sucker, death be a fine place for a dentist to deny extracting anything really. His tongue shall not reply. Wide. Wider still, a boatman never hurries. With its oars open the spasm, relinquishing the penny for his sins. Pain for him, the darkness said, let his hell be yours. Crime never wins." End of poem.
I don't think I've ever heard you read something like that before. It was great.
That was a dark Titus.
Yeah, that was, but it was good.
Solid, man. Oh. Really, really enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
Titus, wonderful work. And really, I love the different angle you came at it from.
Well, with the word bank, it kind of like shapes the poem, as I've said. So
sure.
It seems that old age is creeping up on me that I need to be prompted every time I write.
It's like you're getting a polite nudge and some words thrown in front of you. And, oh, yeah, I'll get to work now.
That polite nudge is saying you're getting old.
Thank you so good much. Stuff. Really, really, that was great. That was a good one.
Oh, thank you. Bye.
Of course. Goodbye. Bye. Thank you.
Bye.
And that was Titus calling from the UK. A dark Titus, as he said. Is Titus technically in the dark doing dark Titus?
Wow.
Makes sense, right?
It does.
Totally. All right, now we're going to go to Mama Oladeji in Cleveland, Ohio. Hello, Mama.
Yes.
All right, you are on. Welcome back.
Thank you. I'm going to read a short story I wrote for children, and it's called The Odds. That's the name of it.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. The Odds, a children's fable by Mama Vicky Akwa, a.k.a. Mama Oladeji. What are odds? Asked the wide-eyed, curious child. Well, said the elder, it means chances to a degree. Sometimes we take a chance in life to do things, and depending on the odds to either be for us or against us, the elder went on to give examples of odds being a ratio or is a measure of association between an exposure and an outcome. For instance, said the elder, crossing the street. If we cross the street against the crosswalk using the car. I'm sorry. If we cross the street using the crosswalk, a crossing guard, and a signal light, the odds of us being hit by a car are lessened. But if we use a stop sign and depend on a car to stop and let us go across, your chances of crossing safely are better than darting into traffic without any type of precautions. However, the odds of crossing the street safely could also be measured by other variables causing the odds to be greater or lesser. Now that you have some understanding as to what odds mean, I have a story to tell you. We are humans, and humans can miscalculate time. And as humans, we must always weigh or measure our odds accurately. We should take chances in life on some things, but we should not take chances or dares with our lives, our health, and especially if the odds are not adding up to our side. Once there was a little boy who loved to ride his bicycle. He was a very nice child, and he played alone. He was not antisocial, and he wanted to be friends with the other children. One day, a familiar boy in his neighborhood rode towards him and began to smile and ask him, "Would you like to ride your bike with me in my bike club?" The young boy said, "Yes, I would like to have friends to ride with." The familiar boy who usually rode alone said to the familiar boy said to the boy who usually rode alone, "Then why do you always ride alone?" "I ride alone," he said, "because I'm always thinking. And sometimes I stop and I talk to old people and ask questions. And most of the other children hate me when I do that." "Oh, well," said the familiar boy, "if you want to ride with us, you have to be initiated into our club." "Really?" said the lone biker. "What do I have to do?" The familiar neighborhood biker said, "You must wait until the train gets very close and ride your bike across the track right in front of the train, right before the train comes, and make it across to the other side. And if you come out alive and unhurt, on the other side of the track, we will make you a member." The lone biker boy said, "No way. I will continue to ride alone, but no thanks. The odds are surely going to be against me, and I will not take chances with my life or my safety." "What are odds?" asked the familiar biker boy. "It means taking risks, using wrong calculations, taking chances, exposing yourself to outcomes that may be life-threatening or worse." The familiar boy smiled and said, "Glad you said no. Welcome to the club. You are now a member of the Safe Riders Bike Club. And you had you said yes, we would not have accepted you." They laughed, and the familiar boy introduced him to the other members. And the lone biker boy introduced them to some of the elders, and he thanked the elder who explained the word odd and what it meant. And they rode safely together and always stopped to chat with the elders. The end.
Mama, that was lovely. I really like that.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad you did. Thank you.
No, it didn't bore us at all. I thought that was really cool. And I read a lot of children's books. Trust me, I read a lot of children's books. Not because I read them at home, but at school.
He reads them at home. Don't let him fool you.
I'm still trying to get through Everybody Poops. I just can't make it happen.
Well, if I can get it published, and you know, I'm getting an expert like you telling me it's okay, I'll just go ahead and try to get it into a little chat book.
Well, I think you should get it into a chat book anyway. I don't know if I'm an expert, though, but I think you should definitely do it.
You're a teacher, and you know about children, and you liked it. That's good enough for me.
All right. There we go. Fine, then. Mama, we really did like it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. We'll talk to you next 2 weeks from now, okay?
Yes, thank you.
All right. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio, reading a cool, cool short story for children. I definitely think that should be in the world. See, I think, you know, I know that you know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't really consider us experts on anything. What I do see is I find the more and more stuff we hear every week, the more and more I think, yes, let's get it out into the world.
Yes.
I love the idea that, you know, 20, 30 years from now, someone could be going through an old used bookstore and find a World Poetry Open Mic anthology from 2017.
Yeah.
And read the work of the people. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To me, absolutely. That is cool. And so, you know, maybe I should be fantasizing about selling thousands and thousands of copies. But I, honestly, for me, the idea of someone being able to find it and go, who's this Dennis White guy? You know what I mean?
Would be cool.
Yeah, who, you know, and that, and to me, that's really, really cool. And,
yeah.
So that's something I try to keep in mind. Meanwhile, let's. Oh wait, hey, Dennis is right there.
Yeah. I
didn't realize he was the next one up.
Good
let's
job.
Go to let's go to Dennis in Michigan. Hey, Dennis, how's it going?
Yes. Oh, it's going wonderful. What a great blend of poetry you have rolling tonight.
Really?
It's
no kidding.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, we're pleased over here. I got to tell you.
Yes, you should be. We're pleased out in the audience.
I can tell.
That's right.
I just jumped in and started looking at the chat room. Everybody looks pretty happy, so that's good. So what do you have for us?
All right. Well, I'm going to give the poet of the month one last shot, since this month is going to be over soon at the end of this program, I believe. I'm going to give it one more shot, and I'm going to read one more poem by Theodore Seuss Geisel. And the poem I'm reading is West Beach. Let me start over again. This is a tongue twister. West Beast, East Beast. And it goes like this. Upon an island hard to reach, the East Beast sits upon his beach. Upon the west beach sits the west beast. Each beach beast thinks he's the best beast. Which beast is best? Well, I thought at first that the east was best and the west was worst. Then I looked again from the west to the east, and I liked the beast on the east beach least. End of poem.
Oh,
I love it.
That's tough. It yeah. is tough, but yeah. That's good stuff.
Yeah, Dennis, good read. Ambitious read, too. But good read.
I hope I enunciated well enough to get the words right.
You did. You did.
You did just fine. You did just fine. I am definitely impressed.
Well, I would have preferred to read that one about the so many Daves, but you beat me to it.
I'm
so
sorry about that one.
I had to dig deep to get something else.
I probably should have sent you a message ahead of time. Oh, sorry about that. I'll make it up to you.
Not a problem. You already have.
Well, thank you. All right. Well, Dennis, we appreciate you. Have a wonderful Holy Week, wonderful Easter, and we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Yes, you will, and God bless you over Easter, and I hope you have a good time with your family and friends, and I hope it'll be a meaningful time for you. And I'm going to step aside, let the next poet step up. I'm going to say God bless.
God bless, Dennis.
God bless. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan, and we have sufficiently ignored the jinx. We've missed the jinx.
This time.
Okay. What if it happens when we say something really dumb later? Like,
we probably will.
It probably will happen at Applebee's when we sit at the same table,
yeah.
the same night, or the same things.
Yeah.
We've become a Talladega Nights joke, everybody.
We totally have, and it's hilarious. And it,
I didn't even realize it because, honestly, Applebee's is the only place to go around here that has decent food.
Right.
After the show.
After the show.
At the time. Yeah. So we start going, and then we end up sitting at the same table, and then we start ordering the same stuff, and the next thing I know, we are exactly a scene from Talladega Nights where they talk about sitting at the same table, same night every week, at Applebee's ordering the same things.
All except for getting thrown out.
Yeah, although that can be arranged, JG.
Yeah, it could. Real quickly,
too. I got a feeling that bartender could throw me out real quick. All right, let's go to Jim in Pennsylvania. Oh, Jim, I'm hearing the backup thing. Maybe could you hang up and call us right back? We'd really appreciate it. We're having that Skype issue that we just can't seem to get to work once we pass about five, six callers.
It's so weird.
Yeah, it's strange. Yeah, so JT just ended it. Jim, if you could just give us a call right back, we'll do it. And Atul, after Jim, we're going to have you call back as well. I saw you call back in, but we can't answer. We can't answer until then. So one moment here. Oh, Jim.
Checking to see.
Well, Danielle says he's dialing, but...
he's dialing?
I'm not seeing anything. Jim. Oh, there he is.
Hello, sir.
Hey.
Jim does not arrive late nor early. He arrives precisely when he means to.
Precisely when he means to.
Exactly.
You shall not pass.
You know, the best part about that is I had to go to school a few years ago with a cane because my knees got really messed up. And one of my students goes, you should totally have a staff. That way you can stand in front of the class and go, you shall not pass. I thought that's a whole other angle. I never even considered that. Anyway, what do you have for us?
Well, it's one I wrote today, actually.
Awesome.
Yes, I wrote it as a tonka. So something I haven't done much of. And it's an untitled piece. The storm is coming to set our world to burn. So why do we choose to fill the earth with tinder and shoot the ones who warn us? End of poem.
Very nice. Yeah, I think tinder's useless too. Wait. Oh, okay.
No, wait, no, what?
No, Jim, that's a powerful piece.
Yeah.
And it's a foreboding.
Well, I've been listening to Dr. David Jeremiah's series on Revelation.
Yeah, okay.
And the one sermon, it dealt with how people deal with prophets. Mm. You know, okay. Kind of touching on that in this present age, we don't want to hear warnings, which is what Old Testament prophets were basically supposed to do. You know, it's like, like in the movie Children of Dune, when Moadib, as the preacher, is saying, I bring you a warning.
Yep.
And that's what the Old Testament prophets basically did. You know, to call people to repent.
Yeah.
And said, if you don't, this is what's going to happen. And it's kind of foretelling the future. But from the standpoint of God is telling us, this is what I'm going to do if you don't come back to me. You know, it's.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Really nicely with what's been going on in the world now.
Yes. And it's the whole idea of the tinder. It's like tinder is what's used to start a fire. And I think with the way the world's been going from just this present age that we keep adding stuff to
fueling the fire.
The fuel of the fire when it does come. And the fire that I mentioned, the storm I mentioned, is the tribulation, which is not here yet. But it's going to come.
Okay.
We don't know when.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's... So it's kind of warning. So, you know, we got to get ourselves, we got to get our stuff together. You know, it's like God saying, come back to me.
Sure.
But regardless, it's going to fall on deaf ears, but that's, we know that's going to happen. But well, we just have to do the best we can to bring as many people to God, or to witness for God.
Right, right.
But that's where I was going with the poem.
No, I thought it was very powerful stuff. Appreciate it, Jim. That was great.
Thank you.
You got it. And happy late birthday again. Have a great week, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. And I shall see you on the 5th.
Sounds great.
I'll hear you on the 5th.
Right. We will be there.
Yep.
See you then. All right. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
And that was Jim calling from Pennsylvania. Atul, give us a call. I saw that you were calling in during Jim's call. Give us a call. We will pick up. We'll go live if you can hear it. All right. Now, so there's been some really, really solid stuff tonight. I'm excited about it. I wanted to ask a question while we're waiting for a call to the poets here. You know, we're always trying to kind of come up with new things we can use to help you guys as far as being poets. Is there any particular subject, whether it's getting published, marketing your work, anything like that, you want us to do a deep dive into? We'll go do all the research. We'll go learn as much as we can and bring all the info back to you. Is there anything you can think of that we can do to help you? Put it in the chat room if you can. But right now, we're going to go to Atul calling from India. Hello, sir. How are you? Atul, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hello. Okay, so the seems like the connection's a little bit off. Yeah. Or is that right?
Yeah, the connection is a little weak.
So
yes,
yeah,
I'm here.
Yeah, if you can turn off Mixler or your whatever you're listening to the program on, go ahead and turn that off, and it'll clear up.
And then that way it'll just be your voice. Yes. Okay, that sounds better already. That sounds good right there. All right, so welcome to the show. You're on the air right now, and we're so happy that you called. How did you hear about our show?
Okay, that sounds better already. That sounds good. Okay, now is that better?
Yes, much better.
No, I have been there on the garden, and Diane introduced me to the show.
Perfect. Okay, well, we love people from the garden of poetry and prose. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to step back, let you read, and then we'll come back and talk after you're done, okay?
Yeah, okay.
The stage is yours.
Okay. Yeah, this poem I had written basically for the young girls in India who just are married off early. The poem is titled The Indian Bride. Flowers adorn the groom's forehead. Garlands hang covering her face. The bride glances him somberly. The unique prevalence of exaltation and dread. Hindu priest recites the mantras. Multitudinous chants fill the air. Marriage is not her choice. It's her karmic destiny. Anticipation, hope, fear, and anxiety fill the recesses of her heart. Ritual complete, she enters the new home, sipping the pot of rice, symbolizing she will bring to the new household wealth, good fortune, prosperity. What the new home will give her, she knows not. Mixed feelings overwhelm her. She retires exhausted to the bedchamber to revel in her reverie. She awaits her husband. She awaits her fate. Child in her lost forever in the amorphous stretches of time. End of poem.
Loved it. That was a lovely piece, Atul. Thank you. Very, very nice.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
And we hope to hear from you again in a couple weeks time if you're available to. We would love to invite you back, and you know, we can always keep in touch through Facebook, and Diane can keep you up to date as well. But thank you so much for calling our show. We've loved it.
It was a pleasure to be here.
All right, perfect. Well, thank you so much, Atul. And where are you in India? What part of India?
I am in Bombay, Mumbai.
Mumbai. All right, perfect. Well, thank you so much, Atul, and have a wonderful, I guess it's probably day where you are. Have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you in a few weeks, okay?
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Happy Easter.
Oh, thank you. Happy Easter to you as well. And that was Atul calling from Mumbai in India. This has been a very, very international show today, hasn't it?
Yes, it has.
UK, Canada.
Both sides of the world.
India. Yeah, I love it. I love it. All right.
Both in the future.
Yes, they're both in the future. They're still there.
They're still in the future. Woo-hoo! This is awesome.
Good news, George.
Okay.
We're still going to be there in the morning.
Sorry, I couldn't
help
myself.
All right. So, you know what? That's crazy. If you actually think about it, and this is kind of dark, but if someone launches a bomb from Asia, it's a bomb from the future.
Yes.
Going back in time.
Yes.
But it's going to screw us up in the present.
Yep.
Yikes. On that happy note, I want to say thank you so much, everyone, for listening. It's been a great show. We've really, really enjoyed all of the work here, and we're looking forward to seeing you in 2 weeks' time after Easter, of course. So not this next week, but the week after Easter, we will be returning with a brand new month, a new poet of the month with clues there, a new poetic form of the month, and an After Dark segment. Of course, we'll be in touch, and we hope that all of you are having or will have a wonderful, wonderful Easter. And we look forward to checking in with all of you when we get back. So, from myself, from JT, from Novia, the studio cat, from Ursa, the studio dog, we want to say thank you so much once again. And until next time, keep writing.